This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you want proof that an internship can be a portal to a pretty eye-popping career, here it is. My next guest began his career at 19 as an intern for NPR. That was in 1978. Since then, he has done just about every job you can think of at NPR Washington, from writer to editor, reporter to producer. And then he created and hosted This American Life. From that first episode on November 17, 1995, the program has grown to the point where today it is heard weekly by more than 2 million listeners on more than 500 public radio stations, including right here on Michigan Radio. And more than 2 million listeners also download the program. And now Ira Glass is hitting the road. He'll be in Kalamazoo January 24th to talk about his Peabody Award-winning program. And he is with us now, Ira Glass. Welcome to Stateside.
Nice to be here.
Good to have you here. You know, it really does give one pause to realize that you truly possess the ultimate internship success story. I'm wondering, what were your career hopes when you first walked in the door as an NPR intern?
None. I'm sorry, I had to pause there. My hopes were nothing. I didn't think of what I was doing as a career move. All I was thinking of is I wanted to do something interesting that would be interesting for this summer, and kind of talked my way in. And then it kind of at every stage, there was no plan. It was just like what would be kind of interesting to do next.
When I think of those very early days when you were at NPR, we're talking about Washington in 1978, and you stop and you think about that point in history. It was just 4 short years after the Nixon resignation because of Watergate. Jimmy Carter was in the White House. It was a full year before those Americans were taken hostage in Tehran, 2 years before America said yes to Ronald Reagan. It seems like a long time ago, or no?
I mean, it seems like a long time ago to me. Like, I'm old. Like, I know I'm old. Like, yeah, no, that seems like a really long time ago. Yeah, for sure. And but I, you know, I'm glad I was able to have a nice job for all this time.
Where did the idea of This American Life come from? What was the germ?
I mean, the germ was really something pretty simple, which is that there was a kind of story that I was doing for the NPR news shows, sometimes as a producer and sometimes as a reporter, and had been doing it for years. And you know, the kinds of stories where there's characters and scenes and funny moments and emotional moments. And you know, we'd be covering the news and covering things related to the news. You know, like NPR gave me an assignment where they had me go cover one high school for a year, a high school that was trying to go through a sort of a massive reform and fix their school. And I reported every couple of weeks for All Things Considered. And over the course of the year, the audience got to know these teachers and the principal and what they were trying to do and what worked and what didn't work. And so I was doing stories like that. And then I just thought, like, well, you could have a whole show, which was nothing but these stories. And it just seemed like, that's such an obvious thing. You know, you think about, like, you know, listening to the daily news shows in addition to the news. I feel like for many of us, like, our favorite stories are the ones where, like, the driveway moments kinds of stories. I thought, well, let's just do a show of those stories.
And as you and I speak, show number 577, Something Only I Can See, is set to air this week. So here you are, 20 years out, you have millions of listeners, you're a Peabody Award winner. You and I know that the lifespan of many fine shows can sadly be too short. Why do you think This American Life is still going strong at age 20?
I think that there are two things. I mean, one is I think that the thing we're doing is just very likable. Like we're doing stories that are very traditional stories and stories, you know, like you tell a kid, like the characters you can relate to and, you know, there's a plot and you want to find out what happens. And so I feel like the thing we're making, the thing that attracts me to the stories is what attracts the audience to the stories. And so there's that. And then honestly, like I've been very careful about the way it runs as a business and was always very interested in that. And, you know, just from the very beginning where we had to talk public radio stations into picking us up and the way we treat stations during the pledge drive and, you know, just try to do a nice job during the pledge drive for stations and just like all the little things that are the business side of doing a public radio show. I feel like I and my staff have tried to do a nice job on
watering the garden. I'm wondering if the kinds of stories that you find and you present on This American Life, have they changed over these two decades or do they maintain a pretty steady course?
I mean, there are some things that are the same in there, but there are a few things that are different. I mean, the things that are the same are that, like, at its heart, you know, it's a show which is narrative stories, which is, you know, there's stories with a plot and things happen and you get to know somebody. Like, and so that was there at the beginning. The thing that's changed is that at the beginning, like when we went on the air 20 years ago, we were applying the tools of journalism mostly to stories that were very small and personal. and so small and personal that, that journalism wouldn't have traditionally covered them. And then the 20 years since, like memoirs and, you know, personal stories and reality TV, you know, this is long ago enough that, that all of that has come since then.
Right.
And I feel like all that stuff is way more familiar and way more like in the culture. And so I feel like we've moved away from that. And now, like, a lot of the most interesting stuff, I think, is stuff where we're reacting to the news and taking the storytelling moves that we do and applying it to the financial crisis or to desegregation of public schools or to the war on terror, like all kinds of things that the news covers that we feel like it, it's interesting to cover in our style.
We're talking with Ira Glass, who will be in Kalamazoo January 24th, talking about his Peabody Award-winning program, This American Life. Give us an idea. What is your roadshow like? What are you going to be doing in Kalamazoo on the 24th?
I mean, I stand on stage. I have an iPad, excuse me, which lets me play clips and music. And so I can basically recreate the sound of the stories around me as I speak. And so it's both kind of like a greatest hits here, really incredibly funny moments or moving moments from the show, but also it's me talking about how we make the show. Like, what's the theory behind it? Like, what's the theory behind the way the stories work so that they work with greatest effectiveness? So that's it.
It must be good to get out of the studio and out there in front of an audience and to see and to hear them react to things you say and clips you play for them.
It is totally the opposite of an experience from doing a radio show. Like, mm-hmm. a radio show, like I feel like I go into the studio and I say my lines and it's a completely soundproof room and I pretend that I'm talking to people. But, you know, it's very abstract, the notion that I'm actually talking to people and so it's nice to be in the room with people. Yeah, like, yeah. It's very, very different. And then the first time I did it, I hadn't been, like, once I started making This American Life, like, I had been doing radio for a while, but I was in my mid-30s. And I hadn't been on stage since high school theater. and so it was very strange to be on stage, you know.
You know, I think about the media landscape, and you've just alluded to this. The media landscape in 2016 is so different from what it was when you first launched This American Life. No internet then, no podcast, no bloggers. Do you think our national discourse has been improved through all of this, or have things changed for the worse?
Oh, I think definitely not for the worse. No. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that there's a kind of person who thinks like, oh, everything's always getting worse. But I am definitely not one of those people. Like, I don't know if it's better, but but I don't mind it. In fact, I kind of like the way things are. Like I like that there's all these different sources of information, and honestly, we're in this cultural moment where it's possible for anybody to make something and get an audience and be able to, like, support themselves. Like, there are all sorts of shows that started off as podcasts before they even had many radio stations. Like, Radio Lab was really like a podcast before it was, you know, a big radio show. And my wife for a while worked for this 15-year-old named Tavi Gevinson, who has a website called Rookie. And my wife was her, like, you know, the adult who kind of made the trains run on time. It's just like this incredibly wonderful site for teenage girls written by this, like, army of young women and just, like, really funny and innovative and just beautifully written. And I feel like, you know, like, that can happen now, that, mm-hmm. like, somebody, you know, just starting off can try to make something and can find an audience. And if it's good, I feel like it's more of a meritocracy. Like, for people, like, I think there are a lot of messed up things in the world right now. But the one thing that is really lovely and better than when I was starting to try to do creative work is that there's all kinds of ways, if you're young, to get your work out there.
Ira Glass, when you think of that title, This American Life, what do you think an American life means in 2016? What does that title mean?
Well, here you're speaking – this is a very good question, and you're speaking to the utter pretentiousness of the title of the show, which is just not really, I have to say, the very best title for a show. I think the thing we mean by the title, I and the staff, is, like, you know, all of these are American lives, like, all, you know, like the things happening, you know, for middle class people and for not middle class people, and, like, you know, just, like, it's all part of the whole.
When you think of listeners of the future going into those audio archives, you know, all of us in this business can think about the fact that our work's going to live on, and our voices and our words and what we've done will live on long after we've departed this earth. Will you think of people listening in the future to episodes of American Life and to those voices and the stories?
I don't. No.
You
don't
think about that?
I don't think that's going to happen. Nope. Don't think it's going to happen.
Why?
I think that we'll be on the air for a while and then we'll be off the air and then we will vanish into the sand like everything else. And I think that is just fine. fine.
That's
like, I don't think of people in the future hearing us. I think it's fine. In fact, I've been in kind of like a discussion with the public radio station that we're based with, WBEZ in Chicago, because, you know, Car Talk, like one of those guys died.
Yes.
And the show is still on the air on hundreds of radio stations. I just feel like I would never want that to happen with our show. I feel like, and I've been in these negotiations with WBEZ where I've said like, no, once I'm dead, take the show off the air. And they're like, I don't know. I think we can make some more pledge money. I've said, like, no, don't make any more. I don't care if people will pledge. Like I just think our mission is excellence. And when, you know, like I'm happy to get out of the way for younger living producers to get their shows on the air. I think it's fine for our show to not be on the air anymore. I think it's fine for our show to be a thing that people enjoyed for a while. And then when I'm dead, when the staff is dead, I feel like it's fine for it to go away forever.
I'm just curious to know, if you had not landed that NPR internship back in 78, and you said you had zero aspirations, you just wanted something interesting to do when you were 19, do you have any sense of what other career path you might have followed?
Yeah. I mean, my parents were very much like wanted me to be a doctor. And I was good at science, and there's things about it that I like. I think if I hadn't ever gotten a job in the media, like I could have very, very possibly gone down that road.
That makes two of us, actually. I was on the way, really? Road to becoming a surgeon, and then somehow you get sidetracked, and here we are in the studio doing our thing.
So I got as far as organic chemistry. How far did you get?
Organic chemistry. That I got a D in organic chem lab and said, I don't think I belong in this field. And I went and switched to history.
Yeah.
We could commiserate over organic chem.
There you go.
How many physicians will tell you, never use it, never use it.
Yeah.
Ira Glass will be speaking on Sunday, January 24th at 3 p.m. at Miller Auditorium in Kalamazoo. You can get all the details and tickets at the website, MillerAuditorium.com. And, of course, you can hear This American Life every Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. right here on Michigan Radio. Looking forward to having you here in Michigan, Ira Glass, and thank you so much for spending time with us today on Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.